Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 155 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am Jim Viscardi, joined by Megan Peters.
Hello, I am here.
No Christian Hoffer today.
Physically present. I know, we don't have Hoffer. That's such a rarity.
No, honestly. Christian Hoffer, the man who just goes on and on about, I've never missed a show, I've never done this, I've never done that. And here we are today. Christian Hofferless, to be fair. Christian started a new job. Today was his first day. It would be really awkward if he's like, hey guys, I'm going to go do my Pokemon podcast on my first day of my brand new job. Okay. He will be back. His new job does not mean he cannot do it. We just thought it would be weird for him to do it on his first day. So he'll be back. But that won't stop us from, you know, talking trash about how Bulbasaur is the worst grass starter in the history of Pokemon. So that's fine.
I mean, turnabout is fair play. I mean, everybody listening, please feel free to shower Hoffer with all of your congratulations and good luck for the job. Yeah. But yeah, that does not excuse him for the fact that we are going to be just ragging on Bulbasaur today, unfortunately. He doesn't deserve it, but it's just how it goes on this show.
Exactly. 100%. We got a pretty good show for you today. I'm excited. For those new to the show, we'll give you a bit of a rundown on what happens here. We do news at the top half. We take a little bit of a break. Then we do some deep dives, some discussion topics usually. And then we do a Pokemon fact of the week. This week's, man, I'm a little sad that Christian's missing it because it is a dark one. For sure.
Oh man, it is a actual, like, might have nightmares over it.
Yeah, this is a good one that I'm sure will encourage some spirited debate in the live chat that we do every Monday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/comicbook is where you can find us. Or if there's some people watching on Facebook as well, so you can catch us there too. All right, we'll get right into it. See, like, already the chat is contributing because now there's an argument about whether or not Chikorita is better or worse than Bulbasaur.
I mean, it's worse.
I like Chikorita more than I like Bulbasaur. So I think that carries a bit of weight. This is not new to anyone who's listened to the show. My team is mostly comprised of Pokemon that I like. Not whether or not that they are good or not. So.
True. I mean, I say this as somebody who almost always picked Chikorita when I was younger. Now that I've gotten older, I tend to go Cyndaquil route. But you know, Chikorita, especially Correct. Like in the anime, like I really gravitated towards Chikorita. Just was a cute little leaf. It's so cute. Come on, guys. But, you know, competitively speaking.
Oh, geez. Calder. Like, not even going. Like, Calder just going Totodile here. Like, it's. Oh. I mean, I get it. Totodile, you know.
I don't get it. I would not. I don't get it.
Totodile grows up to be a nice, big, teethy chunker. So, you know, that's look, I think that gen had great starters in the sense that
collectively speaking, yeah. But I mean, I'm now ride or die Cyndaquil. I will not let him go. So
yeah, I mean, like, let's just say, like, and we've said this before, like, Johto like was a great follow up to Can't Do. Just kind of,
it was just, you know, such a seamless transition.
Yeah,
it was so 100%. Seamless. So that's my stance. Ride or die, right. Cyndaquil, Chikorita.
I love Cyndaquil. I still love Cyndaquil so much.
Oh, absolutely, Cyndaquil to this day. Yeah, I still ride or die.
So great. All right, so let's get to some of the news. In some new, like, I don't understand how this happens. Pokemon Masters, man, it's the game that everyone plays that apparently we don't, Megan. 40 million downloads worldwide.
Who? I need names. I need contact information.
40 million.
Like, I just want to talk. I just want to talk. Like, I don't understand. And I'll be fair. I really have not given Pokemon Masters a shot since like 2 months. Like, I tried it for like a month and a half.
Calder is one of those.
Again. Yeah, I just don't understand. Maybe I just don't understand.
Okay, well, chat and listeners, help me out here, because I think this is one of the things that I have an issue with in trying to get back into Masters. It feels a little bit impossible to jump back in. And I don't know if it's something where, like, I just need to nuke my account and start over from scratch and then just try and go and try and, like, figure my way through it again. But I've like, every time we do one of these reports, right, like, Masters giving away a bunch of stuff or a whole bunch more people are playing Masters, I try to pick it up and I try and get into it. And I just go, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Calder says I recommends nuking it, but like, I can't nuke it because in my heart I have all of these pairings, right, and some of them are rare. I can't just get rid of those. The collector in me is just like, nope, I can't do it. I'll just suffer my way through it and figure it out.
Like, for me, I did end up nuking that original account that I made. I still haven't tried it recently whatsoever, so I'm not familiar with whatever the, you know, in-game collectability or meta looks like right now. But whenever I would go to it, you know, and in our comments we're saying, you know, it's a time waster, you just, you know, you play it on the metro, you play it wherever. Like, when I'm looking for a time waster game, and maybe it's just my personality, I'm always gonna pick Pokemon Cafe Remix. Like, that's what I'm going to go to. So maybe it's just a matter of preference for me. But just Pokemon, I had hope for Pokemon Masters. And I guess I'm just really good at holding grudges because it let me down so hard. I mean, it didn't even try to catch me when that game came out. I was like, I'm going to download this. And then I just free fell.
To be fair, and it, that was one of our big criticisms at the very beginning, was it had a very slow content rollout. And now it seems to be on a roll. Now it seems like you play that game, you're getting stuff left and right. But the original content rollout for that was slow as molasses.
I wish I hadn't played it. Like, I wish I hadn't been an early adopter for that game, because, you know, I was an early adopter for Pogo, but stuff was coming out quick for Pogo. And in that magical summer, it came out when like there was world peace, everything was okay. Like, that was fine. So I was like,
you've seen neighbors you haven't seen in six years, like for the first time,
reuniting with long lost friends just to like trade Pokemon. Like, that was such a great time. And what I figured
way before the dark times.
I know. Yeah. I figured, you know, Pokemon Masters would be the same to be an early adopter, but I think it really just kind of bit me because now I'm jaded. And also I've moved on past that excitability. So I just inevitably, when I'm wasting time, I go to Cafe Remix.
Yeah.
But for 40 million people, I guess they're just, you know, really loving it.
Yeah. For those who are still playing the game, though, like I said, whenever they hit these milestones, they're giving stuff away. So you can get 3,000 gems, 3,300 gem login bonus, and 1,200 mission bingo to celebrate the 40 million download mark. Looks like there will be some secret missions available from the 24th, so yesterday, to May 8th. Also, the Pokemon Masters Day event is taking place as a one-day event, where players can get a variety of rewards for completion. This includes 25 gems for an 11 sync pair account. So bunch of stuff being given away for it. Shiny Ho-Oh is going to be made available on the 28th for a golden future. And some other, let's see, some other stuff with an SS Morty. So a Cygnus suit Morty. So like that, great stuff there for those who are still playing, who still want it. So like I said, I'm going to try and get back into it because I feel like I am missing something, but you know,
well, if you find it, let me know what's missing because I mean, I've just, the door shut, I've locked it, I've walked away from it. So, yeah, we'll see. It would take something pretty big for me to want to knock on that door again.
All right. So, moving on to the next news, the next Pokemon trading card game, set should be coming out, real soon. I believe it's this week.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yep. Astral Radiance is hitting stores.
It's coming, man.
Yeah, so I mean, it's you know, nothing terribly new in this set. We suspect that there will be some more Hisuian Pokemon, and you know, that'll, you know, it'll continue the V-Star stuff. But other than that, like, you know, check out your retailers and stuff for those.
I gotta say, looking at the art for Astral Radiance that's popped up in Japan, I really want every single Typhlosion card that's coming out.
Oh, really?
Like, he's so cute. My little emo, like, ghost fire son. Like, yeah. He both looks joyful, but, like, also channeling the spirit of, like, Hawthorne Heights. Like, he's still very emo. Like, this is a Typhlosion that exclusively listens to, like, Ohio is for Lovers. Yeah. Like, that is my aesthetic, and I want every single card.
It's just interesting, you know, considering it is a pack that is, it is not this week. It is shipping in May. I think we got our dates mixed up. Not April 27th, but May 27th. So, yeah, so. As I say, it seems really weird that we've gotten real close to release and we haven't really seen any art yet outside of the Japanese art. So that should be coming soon. So sorry about that.
Yes.
But
more Typhlosion.
But the Pokemon Company wants to make sure that you have plenty of Pokemon cards. So much so that they bought a card printer in the States. They bought a card printer in the States because they're tired of everyone complaining that they can't find cards. So the big news is that they bought, let's see, I'm pulling up a Christian story.
It's Millennium Print Group.
Millennium Print Group, based out of North Carolina here in the States. Millennium will continue to operate independently after the purchase is complete. But this basically will allow them to make sure that they can meet the demand for the trading card game. But also, too, I think one of the other things is that, so Millennium is a, they print a bunch of stuff. And I think the big thing that they are interested in seeing is what are other printing techniques that they can bring to the cards, which is interesting, right? Because the Pokemon Company has done a lot as far as, you know, different foil techniques and different kinds of foil, right? Like, everyone, no one will forget, you know, the swirls that we got, or like just some of the patterns that are in kind of the background of foils. And so I'm hoping that Millennium will bring a little bit of new printing techniques to the table that, you know, that they'll also carry over into Japan and things like that. But I think that will be, or maybe they do something that's kind of, you know, specific or exclusive to when for the American releases. It'll be something interesting. I know there's concern. You know, Calder mentioned it, and that was my first kind of gut reaction to the news, was, will this drive card prices down?
See, I feel like long term, that's obviously, I think the goal, I don't think it's going to be a drastic, you know, price drop. I mean, what I thought was the most surprising about this, and I guess I should have had kind of like the momentary like realization, like, oh, that's why we've had such supply issues. When I saw that, you know, we Comic Book had posted that, you know, the Pokemon Company, the trading card game, had purchased a printer, I was like, did they not have one in the States before now? Like, it's just a logical assumption. This card game has been in the United States for literal decades. I just assumed that they had some sort of manufacturing process or company here already. And they do. They were before, you know, buying the Millennium Print Group, they've been working with that printer since 2015 to produce cards, but it's always been, you know, licensing and association contracts. They've not owned one themselves. So I'm curious to see what that does, if it cuts out any middleman negotiations. Price points obviously is one of the biggest things that I guess we're probably all concerned with, but also just the supply. I'm curious to see how more cards being produced, you know, stateside, and having a greater immediate accessibility to, you know, card releases, you know, Astral Radiance moving forward, stuff like that. You know, what is that going to do to the secondhand market? That's what I'm interested in.
Well, for sure. I mean, because now, I mean, look, now the Pokemon Company has more skin in the game for Millennium success, right? And
yeah,
making sure that, you know, say what you will about, right, like the shortages and whatnot, right? Like there are a lot of outside factors into that, right? Mm-hmm. But there was a period in the last 2 years where it was just harder. It was harder to get Pokemon cards. Not that the whole number of cards was any different. It was just harder because they were being made available in smaller drips when they got to stores, right? Because they've reprinted, I mean, not that they've reprinted, but like we've got, or I mean, they have reprinted, but we've gotten like Celebration's a perfect example, right? Even before the reprint, there was like a second wave of these cards hitting the market. And it did not change a lot of the second, you know, the secondary market value on some of that stuff. Some of the cards that were going to be, that were going to sell for high tickets still sell for high ticket value. I think, again, I think, you know, the Pokemon Company's not, like, they're not dumb. They understand the collectability aspect of this market, right? This, I think, is more, at least at the start, I believe, is more a measure to ensure that for launches of new sets, there is product available at stores. And then from there, they can make smarter decisions when and if it comes time to do some reprints. So I think I mean, capitalism teaches us that, you know, never, you know, always assume the worst. Right. But again, like I said, they've really managed the ebb and flow of what sets are more rare than others. I think quite well. And I think that's always, I think you're going to have, like I said, some of these sets have come out with like a billion D cards in the set. And then some of them have come out with, you know, 40. Right. And so like, it's
true.
Right. And so I think, like I said, it'll definitely be a thing for us to keep an eye on. But it is definitely, I want to be optimistic about it in the sense that it's not like, look, I mean, even on this show, we were telling stories of people like getting stabbed at Target because
they were trying to
get Pokemon cards.
They were putting air tags on people. They've been putting air tags on people. I do have to say, my grandmother, you know, love her soul. She texted me a picture this weekend because she needed to get some yarn for knitting. So she went to a store, Hobby Lobby, and she texted me a picture in the back of the store. They had locked up all of their Pokemon cards at Hobby Lobby, apparently, where she was trying to get yarn. And she texted me and she was like, what is this? And because she knows Pokemon, she used to my grandmother used to take me to Toys R Us to, you know, play the TCG game.
Right.
And so she in the back of her mind was like, what's happening? So she ended up calling me. I had to explain to her that like people are like getting killed over, so I mean, over the
Walgreens across the country have now have basically, yeah, like now when you go to the register at a Walgreens, you've got behind the register, you've got mini bottles of alcohol, cigarettes, and Pokemon cards. Like that's how bad it has gotten at our drugstores these days because of the extreme shortages of Pokemon cards.
I mean, at some point soon, you're going to have to start showing your license to buy the Pokemon cards. There's going to be a registry at the store. It's going to be like a whole ordeal. I'm interested, though, to see, I mean, the fact that they only just now invested in having an actual card printing company for themselves. I'm curious to see how this all affect the long-term stuff. So,
yeah. So anyway, like I said, I think this will be very, very interesting. And we'll see what, you know, we'll see where it goes, but that, will do it for us for the news section. Oh, no, sorry. I lied. There was one more news story that, I wanted to share that I had pulled up and now I lost it. So maybe we won't talk about it. Oh no. Right. That was it. There was, so, you know, we talk about shiny hunting all the time and sometimes it can be a grind. For sure, right? But we also talk about how in Pokemon Legends Arceus, you know, getting shinies is generally an easier process than anything else. But there was a streamer who was trying to catch a shiny Infernape. So much so that she was brought to tears because she had been streaming for so long, basically with 1 a.m. her time. She's like, all right, I'm hanging it up. Whatever.
Oh, no.
After playing for hours, sure enough, running around, there's a shiny Infernape brought to tears. The story's on comicbook.com. Go check it out. But it is one of those, like, we all know that feeling. I know, right? Like, there, whether it's finding the shiny you want or finding your first shiny, or finding one that, you know, after a long grind or whatever, you may be grinding, and a shiny freaking Pidgey shows up. And you're like, I don't care. It's worth it. I got one, right? So it's a very feel-good kind of video. So go check it out if you can. But when we get back, we are going to talk about Pokemon Unite's next Pokemon edition, continuing Pokemon's Unite's weird obsession with sexy Pokemon, I guess. And
Markiplier approved Pokemon.
Markiplier approved. Pokemon approved. And then obviously I want to talk about Pokemon Go Stuffle Community Day because I think someone else in the chat mentioned it as well. And then, of course, the truly dark Pokemon fact of the week. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Okie dokie. Pokemon Unite adding another Gen 6 starter. Looks like we are getting Delphox being added to the game. Which I think is great.
I'm Pokemon kind of Unite, whatever about
Pokemon. Pokemon pick. Unite has definitely found its audience as far as Pokemon it would like to add.
Yes, this is true.
I went to just go look at Twitter after some of the news, and like we got with some of the others, there were a whole lot of step on me Delphox tweets. Pokemon Twitter, you're all going to horny jail.
Yes. I'm really not looking forward to all the really thirsty Twitch streamers who are going to be playing Delphox. Like, you know what? You do you. There's no shaming on my part here. I just want to watch a match. That's all I want to do. I don't know if I want to hear all that, but it looks like Delphox is coming. So I'm sure Markiplier would love that. You know, I don't actually know if that would be a smash for him or not, a smash or pass based on his video. I'll have to revisit that information, but yeah, Delphox is coming. That's good.
I think it'll be interesting to see what kind of, of course, Zenpai in the chat, 7 out of 8 Delphoxes are male, FYI. So, well,
that does not stop a single.
Does not
Not a single person even is looking at their gender designation when they're
It'll be interesting to see what kind of gameplay Delphox has. Because right now, like we are getting near the point where it's like, okay, well, we're adding these Pokemon, and a number of them are going to, you know, have very similar playstyles. And I think inevitably what will is going to happen is you either are going to need to pick a Pokemon. Like there will be multiple similar playstyle Pokemon, and you just need to pick your favorite kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like I think we're past the, or you know, the early days, and even like the second wave of Pokemon Unite, where most Pokemon were fairly different from one another that you could, you know, that you could get away with. You know, having it feel different and truly kind of changing.
Well, I mean, it's similar to, I mean, the latest Smash game. I mean, we have such a huge roster. You can only have so many Fire Emblem characters with swords before they start becoming mirrors of one another. I mean, like for me, I know with Smash, like I always tend to go with Sheik, but my next preference is Zero Suit Samus because they're basically the same character. So Delphox, I mean, I assume Delphox is probably going to be some sort of offensive just because, I mean, fast and fire, but like that's kind of how I see it working. As somebody who doesn't really play but rather spectates Pokemon Unite, my biggest takeaway from this is I'm probably gonna have to mute Twitch streamers talking about Delphox. But I'm curious to see the playstyle that'll come from the character.
The interesting bit is, so the person who revealed this has been on the money before on a few others, including, you know, Azumarill, Agislash, and Decidueye. He also teased that we may get Buzzswole, and if that happens, that may be my new main. If we get
If Buzzswole joins the game, basically God has joined the game.
Because I love Buzzswole.
If Buzzswole joins, that's who everyone plays.
Buzzswole is basically like Brock Lesnar in Pokemon form.
See, which, if I knew anything about wrestling, that would probably hit really well with me. And I, I'll step in for Hoffers and say, excellent reference. But
also, Megan, and you would appreciate these, the two others, Espeon and Glaceon.
Okay, now see that's up my alley. I feel like I might try to play Pokemon Unite again when every single evolution is in the game. I can just like figure out which one I want to be all the time. That's my goal.
I'm genuinely curious to see how, if they do get added, how the game handles multiple Eevee evolutions. Like, is it a thing where you pick, like, right now, like, Sylveon's in the game, right? And so, like, is it a thing where you pick Espeon, and then, like, that's just the one you pick? And so you'll pick, you know, you'll pick Glaceon, or you'll pick Espeon. Did I say Espeon? Mm-hmm. I meant Sylveon. Or does it become you pick Eevee and depending, and then like you are given the choice to do it?
Now, I feel like that would be so broken. That would just like break the game. Because like, I feel like that would be a game breaking mechanic if you could do
it. So the thing is, like, I don't know if it's a game breaking mechanic. So like, let me ask you, do you mean game breaking in that like it won't work, or game breaking in that like it is unfair?
I feel like it would be unfair. Strategically speaking,
correct.
I feel like the game could handle it, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's fair in the sense that both teams could have an Eevee that they could evolve. And I mean, it comes down to player, you know, smarts and their, you know, strategy. If you know how to use an Eevee and its evolutions well, in the heat of a battle, that could sway it, like that would make for really good competitive viewing from my point as somebody who watches Pokemon Unite a lot on Twitch, which I would love to see it. But I feel like it also, just depending on how you're ranked when you're doing matches, it could be pretty broken.
Yeah, I mean, like, and that's the other thing here, right? Like, I don't know it competitively is the the like if you're competing against other teams and you know, like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like my head has been going a bit back and forth on it mm-hmm. in, like, is it unfair or not? And I think
I don't feel like it's unfair. Just feel like, I mean, and it's this for almost every Pokemon in the roster up to this point. It's just the variability of Eevee. If you just suddenly have access to all of those evolutions compared to the other teammates that you might have, or the people who are, you know, it's conflicting for me to try to decide whether or not I like that. Like, I feel like you should only be able to unlock it. Like, you should only be able to unlock the evolutions as you, like, rank up in the game. Because, that just seems a lot.
Right? Because it can go two ways. Because it can be considered unfair if you can pick, everyone else has to pick their Pokemon at the start, and you are stuck with that choice for that match. And so if you pick an evolution that swings the game in your favor based off a weakness on the other team that you don't realize until the game starts, that could be considered unfair. That said, anyone mm-hmm. who plays this game competitively or whatever would just need to make sure that they have someone on their team who is a good mm-hmm. Eevee player. Because then if you're, then you play the slow game, right? Then you play it where then it becomes a battle of who evolves their Eevee first. If you have two Eevees on a team, because if one Eevee is going to evolve to give their team the advantage, the other team who has an Eevee can then evolve their Eevee to counter that Eevee. Right.
And so the more we're talking about it, the more I'm like actually really game to see this, because at this point it's no longer a game of like traditional kind of like unite strategies.
Right.
It becomes like a mind game. You're playing psychological warfare at that point with Eevee, which, you know, I'm down for. At every point, I want to see Eevee participate in psychological warfare.
Right. That's it. So I think it's fascinating. It's a fascinating potential change to the game that shakes it up in a way that I don't think anybody anticipated. Or, I mean, maybe them. I mean, they're obviously developing it, and so they're like, ha ha, we have found a way. But like I said, so what we'll be on the lookout, it looks like, if anything, Delphox is coming first, and then some of the others are still down the line. At the rate that Pokemon Unite is releasing these Pokemon, we could get all of them by summer. Who knows?
Yeah, I was about to say, given how quickly Pokemon Unite is just dishing out new characters, all of these that have been quote-unquote leaked or uncovered will be coming out probably within the next month.
Right, and then the whole other part of the country, we just kind of breezed over the Buzzswole of it all, right? Like, if we're gonna start getting Ultra Beasts like that,
yeah, that'll be wild. If we just start having like Ultra Beast portals open up on the field,
so
I mean, I'm down for it. Talk about chaos.
Zenpai beat me to this joke in the chat, but I was totally planning on saying it anyway. At this rate, Pokemon Unite is going to add Kecleon before Pokemon Go does.
Oh, absolutely. There's not even a question about it. Oh yeah, Kecleon's 900% showing up.
I almost want them to, as just like a like ha ha Pokemon Go, we beat you to it kind of thing, right? Like, it would just be a fun little thing for them to do. But anyway,
just a nice little jab.
Right, of course, exactly. So that is Pokemon Unite. Now, moving on to Pokemon Go. Did anyone in the chat take part in Community Day, Stuffle's Community Day? Because remember, we talked about there was a lot of not necessarily controversy, but there was a lot of hoops, I think, that people were kind of annoyed by. I will say, I did see, I went to kind of the area in my town where there's a lot of you know, Pokestops and gyms and things like that, that I saw a lot of people out playing, like a lot of people out and playing. So I think the interest was definitely there. There was definitely so it looks like chat did pretty well. Argalo surprisingly was surprised how quickly he can get Stuffle candy. Zenpai got his beware and got out of there. Looks like there was a local Comic-Con happening, and so it looks like it overall, I think went over pretty well. Calder says he was much happy they switched up the stop research. And that is one of the biggest things that I, when I was looking at Twitter that day, that I saw a lot of people praising about. And so, you know, for something that could have been a catastrophe, looks like not so much, which is actually quite nice. So Siege Luge, 230-ish candies and one shiny.
No, not bad.
That's a lot of stuffles.
Yes, that is a lot. That is absolutely a lot, though. I will say I did see a distinct lack of people complaining on my timeline, both on, you know, Twitter, on Reddit, you know, on just like the Discord I'm in for, you know, Nashville Pokemon Go players. So that was definitely nice. I did enjoy seeing that. I didn't get to do much because I was both split between this like crafts fair I was going to and also record store day and just going to like different record stores. However, I did see quite a few people at the crafts fair with Pokemon Go out. And I was like, my brethren are here. My brethren, hello. Help me complete research tasks, please.
Well, awesome. All right. Well, so yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on that. Just was curious to see how the community did with it. So glad to see that work. Now, on to the Pokemon fact of the week.
Brace yourselves.
We are at Houndoom.
Who I love. And I loved Houndoom when I was a kid.
Everyone's favorite dark Pokemon. For sure. I mean, look, it should surprise nobody that Houndor or Houndoom have truly dark Pokedex entries, right? Like they just look like they would, right?
Right.
So
it's one of the cases where their insides and their outsides match.
Right. So Houndor's entries are pretty tame, all things considered. Basically, they hunt in packs. They use a variety of cries to hunt their prey. Everything that you would expect, you know, a wolf or a hound or whatever do. But when you get to Houndoom, Houndoom's burns cause pain that lasts forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
They never go away. Next time you're fighting Houndoom and they try to burn your Pokemon, just like
that, you know, your Pokemon are scarred forever for life.
Your Pokemon will never not know pain. They will know pain for the rest of their existence.
Unbelievable. Also, it used to be associated with the Grim Reaper. I mean, the Houndoom literally has a skull looking emblem on his chest.
I mean, he's the Grim. Like, he's basically the Grim from Harry Potter. Sirius Black wishes that he could be as cool as Houndoom. He's not, but, you know, he wishes.
Yep. It's just so incredible. So much so that when Houndoom mega evolves, its claws literally melt due to high internal temperature.
Yeah. What is it with all the mega evolutions and literally making the Pokemon
combust?
Like, all of them are like, when you mega evolve, your internal temperature raises so hard, you will just melt. It's been like 3 or 4 at this point. Like,
mega evolving is basically Pokemon abuse when you think about
it. It is legitimately forcing the next evolutionary step that their bodies aren't ready for. Like, please don't.
Stop mega evolving your Pokemon, people.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, it says that for Mega Houndoom, that its breath at that point when it mega evolves is so hot, it instantly turns any of their opponents into ash. And not Ash Ketchum, like ash, like cremation style. Like, Houndoom, like, and I'm kind of curious. I wonder if they have like Houndoom working at cremation areas in the Pokemon universe.
The bit about the burns causing pain forever is the fact that the fire is also poisonous.
Yeah,
it is
the toxins
poison
in its body.
Fire.
Yeah, so it poisons you. It burns you. The toxins are just messing you up because they're on fire. Also, I reading over through all of the entries for Houndoom, I was like, okay, so, you know, they fight each other for superiority within their packs because Houndooms and Houndoor are their pack animals. They, you know, their howls scare other Pokemon, they all these things. And then all of a sudden, when you get to Ultra Sun, it says that Houndooms, the packs, will divvy up their prey evenly amongst members of the pack. And literally all I can think about is like them freaking tearing apart their corpses of Pokemon. Like, he's horrifying. He's
usually like with lions, right? Like the basically, you know, the head of the pack eats until it's full and then everyone else gets kind of the scraps. Not with Houndoom. Houndoom says, all right, you want a leg, you get a leg. You want the shoulder, you get the shoulder. And they just basically split them up that way. But it is just, I mean, like, look, it's, I wish we could, there was a way, like, we joke a lot of the times, you know, in on the Marvel side of things, right? Where, you know, we're starting to get a bunch of like spooky stuff and Moon Knight is out and, you know, we're waiting for Ghost Rider to show up and we know Blade is coming. And so we're all basically like, give me a Midnight Suns team, you know, in the MCU.
Yeah.
I would love to see, like, now with like the, it's like, there's Dark Trainers and things like that, but like, I maybe we'll do this next week or something, or sometime along the line. It's like just assembling like the ultimate team of dark Pokemon.
Houndoom's number one.
And just, I mean, Houndoom, I think is on everyone's, everyone's roster.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, there's no way it's not. I mean, poor Houndoom. I mean, it's interesting that it's like, the character, the dog ties to the Grim, to the Grim Reaper, to, you know, Cerberus even of Greek mythology. But like, I, as a trainer, if I was in the Pokemon universe and I ran into a Houndoom, I mean, that's like it. You just run. Like, that's the equivalent of running into the worst kind of predator here in the real world. Like, please no.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, look, Mega Houndoom looks absolutely metal. Terrifying.
Yeah.
But I am a little shocked that Mega Houndoom also doesn't grow two other heads.
I know. That is the one thing that has always upset me about Houndoom. And it makes me hope that we'll get a regional variant.
Oh, a regional variant that gives us Cerberus Houndoom.
Yeah, like we'll get like even if it's something like Gigantamax or something like further on down the line in a region that we get three-headed Houndoom. Because like that's what it is. That's what we're going with here. Like that is our point. Because the only thing scarier than a Houndoom with one head is a Houndoom with three heads. So just gotta put that out there. And now in the chat, I've legitimately sparked a conversation about people wondering how bodies are disposed in the Pokemon universe because I said Houndoom probably cremates bodies. So
there's a bunch of funeral parlors that have a Houndoom on staff, basically. That's how the economy of funerals and stuff like that go through.
I mean, honestly, without just being too dark, what a way to go.
What a way to go.
What a way to go. When you're going to go, what a way to go. That's all I have. For sure.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Christian, we missed you. If you listened to this and got this far, we miss you, but like not too much, but we'll see you next week. Otherwise, ways to support the show. That's where, Calder. Say that one out loud.
Too dark.
Ways to support the show. Head on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. Next week we'll probably read some of them. So get them in now. As you're listening to them, literally pull it up and be like, I love this show. Jim is great. Megan is great. We'll read a few of them next week. And then otherwise head on over to Spotify, give us a 5-star review there. And then just tell your friends about it, right? Like it's one of the things we have said all 155 episodes, grab the link, send it, drop it in your Facebook groups, drop it in your Discords. If you got a Discord that's all about Pokemon or Pokemon Go or wherever, let folks know about the great show that is A Wild Podcast has appeared. Otherwise, you can find the show on Twitter at PokemonPodCB. Megan is at MeganPeterCB. I'm at Jim Viscardi. We love talking to you about Pokemon, so hit us up at whatever time. I'm always around.
Anytime.
Megan, respect her time, but you can hit me up on
it. No, please. I mean, do respect my time, but also don't respect my time. That's what I would say. It depends on who you're talking to me about. If you're talking to me about Vaporeon or Ash Ketchum, hit me up whenever. If you're wanting to talk to me about Bulbasaur, whatever. I'll talk to you when I can.
All right. Well, again, as always, we appreciate everyone who comes to join the show live. Zenpai Calder, Olmec, Argalo, all folks in the chat today. So I don't want to make a Siege Luge. Don't want to miss out. J-Paw and Liam Pack. And I think those are, if I missed you, I'm sorry. I will. Slow Mode, first time chatter in the chat. And if I missed you, I'll catch you next week, I promise. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Same time, same place. May shiny luck be in your favor. See you later, folks.
Peace. Catch you later.